they're going to break in and have a big party, a big raging party. There's like six of them. There's like six people at this crazy party.
They really wanted an Orange Julius.
Oh my God. And I feel like if you've ever worked in a clothing store, the movie probably hits home even more because it's just such a spot-on satire of that culture. I remember when it first came out thinking to myself, why would somebody remake that movie? And then it was such a banger.
And welcome back to Gateway Film Center for Fright Club Live. We're in the big room. Welcome. We're glad to be here. The big room for a big movie. This is going to be great. As we're talking about malls and horror, back to the days of Spencer Gifts and Chess King, we're going to hit them all and have the 45th Anniversary Edition, the 4K restoration of Dawn of the Dead.
That's right. Very exciting.
Very exciting. Thank you to Chris Hamill here at the Gateway for setting that up for us. So a big night. We thank you for coming out. We're going to do the podcast. We're going to show the movie. We're going to show a little short film first as well. But also we want to talk about last time out, we had our buddy Jamie on from Fave 5 from Fans podcast. We talked about telephone horror.
Yeah, which is a fun topic, and I think that we had some one of the great things about being on with Jamie is that he always has at least five movies that aren't on. We wind up talking about like 12 movies whenever we have him on, and even so, we missed out on a few. Unsurprisingly, it was Seth who pointed out a couple of good ones. Wait Until Dark. And also The Night House. Those would have been good.
Oh, Night House is a good one.
But I just feel obligated. Anybody who listened to the podcast and felt the need to seek out New York Ripper, we apologize.
Sorry.
Our apologies to you.
Speaking of Seth, by the way, he's one of several people here tonight with a great horror t-shirt.
Yeah.
He's got I Spit on Your Grave, which is nice, but we've seen some
Brandon
good ones.
Brandon has a great one, and Michael has a great one. Yeah, with some great
good
ones.
Stuff.
And I've got my Blackula dress on.
Yeah, you commit to the bit.
I do.
I've got The Exorcist.
That's right.
The demon Pazuzu on there, so always good fun. Okay, we also want to talk about, because this is a big weekend here at Gateway.
Yes.
We've got tonight, we've got Fright Club. Thank you for coming out. And then for anybody that's not aware, we've got a big premiere right back here tomorrow night. We're so grateful to have producer, writer, director, actor Joe Swanberg coming in and bringing his brand new movie.
Yeah, it's called Invader, and it is nuts. And it's a short, lean, mean, edge of your seat, tense home invasion film. He produced it. He co-stars in it. And they're going to show it here tonight. You're not going to get to see it anyplace
tomorrow
else. Tomorrow night. And then Joe Swanberg is going to be here to take some questions from us and the audience afterwards. We really enjoy this movie. So we hope if you have a chance, you'll come back out at 7 o'clock Saturday tomorrow night to see this.
Yeah, and it's only like 70 minutes long, but man, it's an experience. It is nasty and disturbing. So I know some of you are into that. So it's called Invader. So come on out again tomorrow night. And then we've got the film series that Hope helped curate called Femme Fatalities.
Yes. I don't know. Has anybody been out to see any of the Femme Fatalities yet? It's so fun. Every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock until the middle of June. Just come. It's Wednesday. It's 8 o'clock. I'm going to come see a movie. We have Jen Wexler and I co-curated a series of horror films directed by women. And in front of the feature film is a short film, also directed by a woman. Sometimes it's the same. So if you come to see The Babadook, you're going to see Jennifer Kent's short film, Monster, which was her proof of concept. But then other times, we've paired the feature with a short film from a woman director that you know, but back in the days when she used to make shorts. And so it's just a great series. This coming Wednesday, Jen Wexler will be here with her film, The Sacrifice Game.
Yeah.
So I really hope you guys can come out for that. It's such a great movie. And she's going to show an old short of hers called Bits and Pieces, which we haven't seen. We're very excited to see.
Yeah. A lot of stuff going on here at the Gateway, including tonight. So we're talking about malls and horror. We've got Dawn of the Dead, the 4K restoration. So before we get to our top five malls and horror, you had a few that were contenders, not pretenders.
That's right. I've got so I have a handful of films that I kicked around because they have important scenes that take place in malls, but the film doesn't really revolve around a mall. So I'm going to run through those really quickly. One is called Blue Sunshine. Body Double has that great mall scene. Scanners has that great mall scene. Gremlins does. Night of the Comet has some great scenes in them all. Eight-legged freaks. And also, here's a gem you may have missed at some point in your lives, and you should rectify that. I Dismember Mama. It's pretty good, actually.
You got to love that title.
Yeah, it's a great title. You could have come up with that title.
So those are good ones. Those are, and also there were a few, those are the important scenes, but you also had some full movies that almost made it.
Yeah, so one, and I was very close on this, but I have to say, I don't think it takes place in a mall as much as it takes place in one big store anyway, In Fabric. As you know, we love that movie.
Yeah.
But I thought that it wasn't probably a mall. There's also one called Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge, which is better than you might think it is. Rabid, the Cronenberg Rabid, has a lot happens in the mall. Dangerous Game, about a Santa Claus that goes insane inside of a mall, kills a lot of people. That's a fun one. And also a relatively recent one called Bio Zombie, which is good. So all of those actually are recommendations. If you've not seen them, they're all really fun, but they didn't quite make the cut.
And neither did, because it's not horror, but a great scene where it destroyed them all, the Blues Brothers.
That's right, no.
Driving through that mall. You got to love that. Okay, so they didn't quite make the cut, but we've got five that did, and we got to get to it because we got the movie coming up here at 9:30. The first one is from 1986, and a group of young shopping mall employees stay behind for a late-night party in one of the stores. When the mall goes on lockdown before they can get out, the robot security system, hint, hint, malfunctions and goes on a killing spree in Chopping Mall.
They broke into the mall for the wildest all-night party of their lives.
A dead meat.
But you're never alone in the Chopping Mall.
What's that? Robot blood.
Chopping Mall, where shopping costs you an arm and a leg.
Eye rolling. Chopping Mall. This was filmed, a lot of it was filmed in the Sherman Oaks, California Galleria.
We've been
which
there.
Which I believe we have been in because our son lives in right outside of Sherman Oaks. And the first time we went there.
Well, he worked in a Mexican restaurant there when he first moved.
That's right, he did.
Yeah.
So that's the scene of the Chopping Mall. This is one it's one that everybody remembers because they just say, oh, wait, was that the robot?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is still on the docket, but last year, I guess, James Wan said he was interested in doing a remake.
Wow.
Now, is that happening? I don't know.
I don't know. It would have to be set in the past because are there malls anymore? Well, I mean, it's not really a mall culture anymore.
You could set it back in the past.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know the point. Opposed to it.
Okay.
I'm against it. I'm officially against it. One of the things I love about it is that Kelly Maroney, of course, is a star, and she's also the star of Night of the Comet. So I wonder, like, later, after she got out of the 1980s, if she decided she's done with malls. She's just, they're not safe places, and she's not going back. And, of course, the glorious Barbara Crampton is in this one. And Mary Warnoff, we said that's the last image we see is her. I love her so much in everything that she just pops into and out of throughout the 80s. It's such a time capsule film of the 1980s. First of all, the fact that it's set in a mall is such a 1980s thing to be. But also, like, they're going to break in and have a big party, a big raging party. There's like six of them. There's like six people at this crazy party.
They really wanted an Orange Julius.
Oh, my God. It's, you know, it's so dumb and it's so RoboCop.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, my favorite part about it is that it's such like a... If RoboCop were a comedy, that would be Chopping Mall. I mean, it's incredibly dated and cheesy, but it's still really fun to watch.
And this was the same mall there in Sherman Oaks. They filmed a lot of Fast Times at Ridgemont High there. Of course, that's a mall.
Yeah, you could absolutely tell.
And
you
parts
can
of
totally
Commando from 85 there as well. So that is from 86, number 5 on our Malls and Horror Chopping Mall. Moving up to number 4. Oh, we've talked about this at least once for a different category. This is from 2020, when a possessed pair of jeans begins to kill the staff of a trendy clothing store. It's up to Libby, an idealistic young sales clerk, to stop the bloody rampage in slacks.
Jeans that automatically adapt to your body.
A lot of people have been very keen to get their eyes on it.
Jeans that automatically adapt to your body size.
Oh my God. I'm so like totally excited. I could just die.
Get ready for slacks.
See, that's a word we should bring back, slacks. With two X's. This was featured, a couple of years ago? We did clothes in horror movies?
Murderous clothing.
Murderous clothing.
Uh-huh. One of the things that this movie gets so right is sort of the more modern parlance of clothing stores. Like, another thing that I love is, like, you know, they talk about how these pants flatter everyone, whether you're 5 pounds underweight or 5 pounds overweight, which is hysterical to me. It is such a great satire about just the fashion industry. And I feel like if you've ever worked in a clothing store, I can think of somebody here who has. I think that the movie probably hits home even more because it's just such a spot-on satire of that culture.
A few years ago, this was featured in a list of movies you won't believe actually got made. But it did.
It did, but you know what? It's not. It seems like it's not dumb. It's smart. It's funny. It's very, very, very bloody. And the pants just move around on their own, which is incredibly funny to watch. It kind of reminds you at times of, like, a Muppets or like a Sesame Street episode, the way the pants just move, which is it's all borderline charming.
Well, also, and if you love the movie Rubber as much as we do, you can see similarities to that movie in this as well. And apparently it took 41 pairs of jeans to bring them to life like that. 41 to do the dirty work in slacks from 2020. But you're right. It isn't stupid. Just like Rubber. You know, when you hear that premise, attire.
Yeah.
But it has something to say.
It's ingenious. Yeah. Rubber is ingenious. Yeah. This isn't quite that good, but it is good. I enjoy slacks quite a bit.
And it's fun. Slacks from 2020. That is number 4 on our list of malls in horror. This was one that I'm glad we worked this in because this was great. This was from 2021. A circle of teenage friends accidentally encounter the ancient evil responsible for a series of brutal murders that have plagued their town for over 300 years. Welcome to Shadyside. It's Fear Street Part 1, 1994.
Look, some gal killed a bunch of people at the mall last night.
Holy shit. Another Shadyside tragedy. Fits the narrative, right?
Sarah Fear's back.
Christ, not you too.
There's no angry dead witch. The only thing that made him go crazy is this town.
The dude was wearing a Halloween skull mask. How is that not fun?
Guys, I think there's someone in the woods.
We're together for one night and dead people are trying to kill us. Maybe we are doomed.
She was so sexy, but so crazy.
Normal bitches don't bleed black blood.
How do we not die? I'm looking at you, witch nerd.
You can't stop it.
Yeah, this is based on R.L. Stine's Fear Street book series. And it's a really fun trilogy.
It is.
It really is.
I don't think I had, at the time, I don't think I had very high expectations. And this was the first of the three. Mm-hmm. And it's the best, I think, of the three. Although they're all quite good. And I remember just being blown away. First of all, it nails 1994. That soundtrack was killer.
Yep.
And also the mall culture. And also, but the other thing that I love about this, you love all of the characters, you know? And I think a lot of times when you get those horror films where we've got like 5 teenage kids, you know right away which ones are going to die. You already know which ones you aren't supposed to like and you're supposed to root for them to die. I loved all of these kids and I wanted all of them to survive.
This is co-writer and director Lee Janiak. Mm-hmm. She was a teenager in 94 and drew from her own personal experiences for inspiration. Like Shadyside, she's from Ohio, Shadyside, Ohio, mm-hmm. and there the other town in the film, Sunnyvale.
Yes,
that's based on St. Clairsville, Ohio.
Now, shut up.
I don't know. I grew up in Cambridge, so I know me some St. Clairsville. It's about 45 minutes away. We went to the big mall in St. Clairsville, but yeah, this is very, very Ohio based and Ohio centric, and I think they nail that too.
Yeah, I think they do too.
This is a lot. It's really fun, and it set the stage for the two to come. I think you're probably right. This is the best one, but they're all worth checking out.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I feel like a lot of times they don't make them back to back to back. You know, a lot of times there's a planned trilogy, but they don't get filmed all together. And then so sometimes I almost feel like the fact that these were made all at the same time And then they came out like just a few weeks apart, yeah. right? One right after the other. It does feel really coherent. The story, because the storyline jumps in a timeline, but it all, you don't forget for a second what you just saw and you make the connections throughout. And then, of course, by the third trilogy, the teenagers from the first episode aren't all of a sudden 25. They are still, in fact, the same age they were when you saw them in the first episode. So that's fun.
Yeah.
But I do. I enjoyed the entire series.
And I know one of the things you like especially, one of the posters in Dina's room is the 10th anniversary of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Nice.
Which is a nice touch, too. So number three on our list of malls in horror, that's Fear Street Part 1. Should be still on Netflix, right? If you haven't seen it, you can check that out. Moving up to number two, this is from 2004, ties in with the one we're going to see tonight. A nurse, a policeman, a young married couple, a salesman, and other survivors of a worldwide plague that's producing aggressive, flesh-eating zombies take refuge in a mega Midwestern shopping mall. 2004 edition of Dawn of the Dead.
Officials have declared a state of emergency.
Everybody they kill gets up and kills.
Residents are advised to find a safe place and stay there.
Look up the road, there's a lot more of them. Why are they coming here?
Maybe they're coming for us.
Sooner or later, they're gonna get in here.
Our baby's here before.
It's only a matter of time.
It's coming.
They'll find a way in.
Oh, God.
Really, really enjoyed this. I like so many things in this movie. In fact, it made our list of not only the best openings, but the best
endings
yeah. as well, because both of them are great.
Yeah.
That opening just grabs you by the throat,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. And the ending as well. I mean, I love everything yeah. about the way Zack Snyder ended this movie. James Gunn wrote this. And I think that you can see, because it's, first of all, it's very well written. And second of all, it's very... I think respectful of the Romero film, but it's also kind of funny. It's got some. It's very human. And then, of course, Sarah Polley, who is glorious and everything, went on to win an Oscar a couple of years ago for writing a script. She was great as the lead in this yeah. movie. She's a great anchor for all of the other characters.
Well, the cast is great.
It is, but for me, this is without comparison the best thing Zack Snyder's ever done.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that it showcases what he can do with a film. Like you said, the opening and closing are all timers. This was also on our list of the best reboots.
Yep.
And I remember desperately not wanting it to get made. I remember when it first came out thinking to myself, yeah. why would somebody remake that movie? And then it was such a banger.
Yeah, it's always one of the things we remind ourselves when we hear of like a reboot. Oh, no. And they go, well, you know what? It can be done.
That's right.
And you're right. It is funny. I mean, when they're in the elevator and there's no music and he says, I like this song.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing on the roof and they're picking people off. And
oh, yeah. Burt Reynolds, yeah. Rosie
exactly.
O'Donnell.
Yeah. yeah, it is funny. And it's also... You get
and then it's so visceral.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
so, you know, because the zombies can run.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. It's a scary movie.
It is. It is really well done. And apparently, Mr. Romero himself was surprisingly impressed with it.
Oh, nice.
As I hope that's true because, man, it's got a lot to be impressed with. Love
yes.
that one. That is number two on our list of malls in horror. So, of course, the one at number one is the one we're going to see tonight. The original from 1978. Dawn of the Dead.
Night of the Living Dead has ended. Dawn of the Dead is here.
Get in the room!
It gets up and kills. The people it kills get up and kill.
They must be destroyed on sight.
When there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth. Dawn of the Dead.
Is there anybody here that has not seen this movie at all, ever? All right.
All right.
All right. Well, as we always do with the movie that we're going to show, we're not going to talk really much about it, and we hope you'll come down and we'll talk about it after, because we certainly don't want to spoil anything for anybody that hasn't seen it. It's legendary for a lot of reasons, and we love that we have the 4K restoration. Thanks again to Chris Hamill for setting
yes,
that up for us.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons that this one is so iconic in a lot of ways is because, of course, Romero worked with Dario Argento on the film, and also Goblin for the soundtrack, and of
course,
Tom Savini is in it. So it's really like it brings together like all the icons of indie horror of the time, which was it's just really super cool.
And of course, as with most movies, you see a lot of extras in the background, and apparently the extras in this film were paid with $1 in cash, a donut, and a Dawn of the Dead T-shirt. So that was a full day's work.
I'd have done it.
So yeah, we'll fire this up here in a minute. So by all means, come down, especially some of you that have never seen it. We'd love to get you on the podcast and talk about it after.
We want to also say hey to our first, as far as that we know, legacy Fright Clubber, Avery. Thanks for coming, bringing your parents along.
Yeah, Avery's dad, John, I think was
Fright Clubber number one.
Back over 10 years ago now that we started Fright Club. And actually, she's covering up with the hoodie. She's like, don't talk about me. But thanks for coming. And John's wife, Heather, I think the first time, right, that you come to a Fright Club?
Wow.
So thank you. Only took 10 years. But no, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming out.
2 hours and 7 minutes later.
See, kids, back in the day, pennies had morphine. And it was really convenient. You go in there, you hit the Brown Derby and the Love Pub. I was loving checking out those stores, remembering some of those. Yeah, the Love Pub at the Brown Derby. Man. Yeah, that's fun. And when you see it again, I haven't seen it for a long, long time. Just certain things pop out to you. Like at the end, we were talking about the strangeness of the score. All of a sudden, it becomes the A-team right at the end there. And, of course, Tom Savini. When Tom Savini shows up, you're like, now it's a party.
That's right. That's right. I don't know how many of you read Max Brooks's How to Survive the Zombie Apocalypse. You should, by the way. It's a great how-to. And one of the first things he says is motorcycles, the dumbest possible vehicle during the zombie apocalypse. You've got nothing to shield you. They're super, super loud. So I don't think those guys would have made it this far into the zombie apocalypse. That's just my thought. Also, Flyboy, bad decisions to the very end.
Yeah.
He did not make one good choice in that movie.
Well, starting with, he clearly shopped at JCPenney. And that was the first. You know, one thing, as soon as it came on, that was a nice-looking print.
It was.
I mean, 4K restoration.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a nice-looking print?
Yeah, it was.
But it called attention to the makeup.
Yeah.
And even Tom Savini, you know, later said he chose that color of the makeup.
The blue.
As an homage to Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
But even he acknowledged later that it was a mistake because they looked quite blue.
Yes.
Especially now with that cut, it looked blue.
Yeah.
For sure. But, you know, those things are going to, some things don't age as well as others.
Right.
And that's one of them.
It's a super fun movie, though.
It is,
It's very, very fun. So does anybody have a comment they want to talk
yeah,
about?
Yeah, come on down.
I was just amazed about how much the nurse zombie got around. She was outside with the trucks when they were putting the trucks out there, and then she was inside the Pennies later, and then she was at the end on the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, she really got around.
Yeah.
She did, and you know, to climb, I was really impressed by the ones who knew to climb that ladder, and then the next ladder.
When previously they couldn't even go up the stopped escalator.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a quick evolution.
If you really scan the crowd of extras, some really weren't trying that hard. I mean, some were doing the full Frankenstein walk, and some were just like walking. Just walking. They had the makeup on, and they really weren't. Some were really into it.
Yeah.
They earned that dollar in the T-shirt.
Donuts.
That's
right.
Sorry.
Well, do you have any cigarettes? Also, the only zombie they showed, I'm sorry, dead person they showed any kindness to was the nun.
Right? And so obviously, she did not go to Catholic school. We wouldn't have shown any kindness to the nuns.
You know, and I was so glad that they, at least once, they hit up Hickory Farms because... first place my brother would go, Hickory Farms, get a big beef stick, and then the whole time we were walking around the mall, he'd just be chomping on it. So I appreciated that.
First of all, this is my favorite zombie movie of all time.
Yes.
So I'm glad I got to see it in 4K. That was awesome.
Yes.
Second, so it opens up on a shot with carpet on the walls, and that always baffled me as a kid because I watched this at a very young age. But if you notice, there's also carpet on the bottom of the helicopter.
Oh,
when they open the doors, I'm like... What was going on back then?
It was a carpeting time. It
the
was
the 70s, yeah. The 70s liked carpeting. They really did.
I know, apparently not. Also,
70s porn or ever been to Elvis's Graceland. It's nothing but shag.
Also, I think the most horrific part of this movie, it's not the zombies, you know, like the old saying, it's the humans. And specifically, fetal alcohol syndrome and smoking while pregnant.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. It's another thing that you wonder, did they not know about that yet in the 70s, or are they just okay with it? There was a lot of smoking and drinking.
Yeah. Can we get a hand for the 70s? I always say it's my favorite decade, and this is, you know, it's the reason why. Any other comments? Yeah, it's that's a fun one. I have to say, if you, I probably prefer the Zack Snyder version myself. That's just me. But
they're both good.
It is fun. It is fun. I'd forgotten.
Real quick, next month, come back out. We are going to celebrate Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
We're going to do a podcast on the best Nicolas Cage horror movies, and we're going to show Mom and Dad.
Yes.
So please come back out for that next month.
That'll be fun. That'll be the next Fright Club Live. And the next Fright Club Studio podcast, we're going to be talking about artists.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. LCW Allingham. She is an author. She's got a new book out called Muse, and it is it's about artists and horror. And so we're going to have her on. We're going to talk about artists in horror films.
All right, good stuff. Thank you guys for coming out. It was a great crowd tonight. So glad you had fun. So glad you enjoyed it. Anything else?
Well, I guess a couple of things. For Femme Fatalities, if you come back out on May 22nd, mm-hmm. not only are we going to show Obstacle Corpse, our film, but we're going to world premiere our new short film, Basement Buddies. So come out for that. And so that's cool, yeah.
Filmed in our basement.
Yep, filmed in our basement, and nobody is still down there as far as you know. And I'm going to be on the Boston Sci-Fi Marathon podcast later this week. We talk about messiahs in science fiction, so I'm not even talking about horror movies. It seems like I could just talk about anything. I'm not sure if I'm as smart on that as I am on other things, but it was fun. It was a fun conversation.
Yeah, good stuff. Enjoy Dawn of the Dead. By all means, come down and talk after. We'll get this podcast edited up and have it the next few days anyway on our normal platforms. Of course, we've got the Fright Club podcast Facebook group. If you haven't joined that, please do. Please put a request in. We have a lot of fun in there. MadWolf.com is the main website. Also, MadWolf Columbus on Facebook and Instagram and Threads. You can find the podcast.
Fright Club Live on Instagram.
Fright Club Live on Instagram.
That's right.
And then the Fright Club podcast on all your favorite apps. So a lot of ways to keep in touch. We hope you will enjoy the film. She is Hope Madden.
He's George Wolf.
And this is the Fright Club podcast.